When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Warning: the following podcast contains rampant, baseless speculation, non-specific wildwood critters, and you asked for it, your official guide to Hershey Park's new gate. Not a new theme park, just the actual gate you walk through to get to their existing theme park. All this and more on our thrilling look at 2019. Come on in to the 2019 Preview Center on Podcast The Ride.
Welcome to Podcast The Ride, the show hosted by three men whose New Year's resolution is to go to Disneyland more. I'm Jason Sheridan, joined as always by Scott Gardner.
I'm mildly accurate.
And Mike Carlson.
I would say mine would be to go to Disneyland more, but in like new, interesting ways, you know?
Oh, I think that's a great
well,
point.
That's what it's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, new interesting ways to go. But do you mean like by hitchhiking? Do you mean getting down there in
that
new interesting
is
ways?
Closer to what I'm talking about. Yes. Mm-hmm. If there's a different way to get down there, maybe there's like not ride sharing. That sounds a little bit unpleasant, but maybe I should take the train down and see what that's like. Take the Anaheim trip, go from Glendale to Anaheim, see what that's like. You can do Burbank.
Burbank by the airport? Yeah, I mean, I'd love to take the train down.
Go with different people, maybe, you know? Like, let's go with some strangers that I've never met before, and I show them around.
Whoa, you know what I mean?
I'm just spitballing. I'm not saying I'm going to do that. I'm just saying, like, see the world through a stranger's eyes. See the Disney World land through stranger's eyes.
I feel like this is the case for a lot of Los Angeles and Southern California. I wish trains ran later, because then I'd be more... Like, if they had ones that ran for, like, 2-3 hours after Disneyland closed.
Right.
That's a tricky thing. It limits you on the other end.
It really does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this. How much would you pay for an annual pass to a bus, an easily located bus to take you down to Disney, and it would run pretty regularly, and it could drop you back off up here at midnight or 1 a.m.?
It would need to have no stops. It's got to be a bullet train. I think if I'm making stops the whole way,
okay.
No,
how about
thanks.
This? There's a Valley stop, and then there's a Hollywood stop. There's two stops, and then it's straight to Anaheim.
I suppose so.
How much do you?
Maybe.
How much is that worth?
I feel like you need a downtown stop to make it viable too. I think there is some sort of bus that comes from a little further inland to Disneyland, and like a commuter bus for employees. But anyone can do it. But
so
I think
if we get a job, then we can use the bus, and that'll fulfill the resolution to go more often because we'll be there every day because we have to.
And
we're going to become scare actors. I guess we're going to become churro cart attendants now.
And it'll fulfill my thing because now I'll be able to see Disneyland in a different way because I'm working there.
Yeah,
so
that's
now
true.
That's a new way to experience the park. So
you'll be able to see it from behind eyes that are crying because you're depressed to be having
possibly,
a Disneyland job.
Depending on what my job is. But, you know, in the new year, the money changes for what you make at Disneyland, right?
That's good.
Yeah.
We uncovered some nefarious stuff about that in our political episode. Wait a minute. We shouldn't get all down. Look, hey, welcome to 2019,
Happy
everybody.
Happy New Year, listeners.
Happy New Year. I hope it was as exciting as every night at Pleasure Island. Though, how could it be, really?
No.
We're here. It's the first new episode of 2019. We took a little break, and we're sorry, but we're back now, and we're here to talk about all of the exciting new developments, what will be happening in theme park world in 2019. 2019 is an exciting year. There's exciting ones to come as well. I don't mean to shoot right past it, but 2020 also has a ton of crazy stuff. I think that's Guardians in Florida. And
2021 is Disney World's 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm, we're a couple years away from Knott's Berry Farm's 100th anniversary, which they're counting all the way back to Roadside Chicken Stand.
Which you insist on counting back to.
Yeah, well, I insisted on counting all the way back to the first berry seedlings planted, and they said, please,
they said no.
Shut up. Yeah, they said no.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, there's a lot there's a lot of excitement in theme park world in the future in general. But yeah, you know, we do got a big year coming up. You know, especially in terms of Disney. I think they have like muscled their way through to make sure that they have the biggest year. But the other parks are not sitting on their hands neither.
That's true. Yeah. There's a lot. I guess. Yeah. There's a lot. Let's talk rides real quick. Rides opening. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Hollywood Studios in Florida. People have been talking about this on the message boards for a long time. People saying this ride is awesome. I don't know. Yeah. But everyone says like the word on this is that it's like very impressive. It's if you haven't heard, it's like replacing the Great Movie Ride. It is like you're on a little, I think, is it Wi-Fi controlled? A little like train, but everything is screens, but it's like you're in the cartoon. It's not just like a flat screen.
Yeah, it's some sort
ride.
Of, there's moving practical. They've shown demonstrations of it, of like this, these practical things that switch that are being projected on or
so like
screens.
All of a sudden you're in like a black and white cartoon, but then everything flips around and it's full color. The whole room is full color and you're in a giant, crazy, colorful cartoon.
Oh, this is news to me. I don't know a lot of details about this in general. That sounds great.
Well, yeah, so they've told some of the store, like Mickey and Minnie are going on a little picnic and then they see a train and Goofy's the conductor. And then you go into the, like, you're watching it, and then you go into the screen, and you're in the cartoon, like.
Everything that I've heard about it, it does sound legit very cool. And this is what? This is the summer opening? Is that, I believe? May? Maybe May?
It's always hard to tell with these things.
You
if you aren't checking the rumors sites like us, nothing changes more than theme park opening dates. It's not like the movies where they declare we're July 4th, 2021 way in advance. These things are real muddy, and they'll also like start kind of previewing quote unquote a couple months out. So it like, and then, but then there isn't an actual like ceremony. It is officially open, even if it's been technically running for a little while.
Yeah. Right. Soft openings. Yeah. Mike and I hit the soft openings for the Wizarding World of Harry Potter in Hollywood, like 2 years ago, just from following like Twitter and blogs going like, everything's open.
Yeah, right.
We were texting back and forth.
Cause my memory of it, I was running with my friend and our friend Andrew Grissom. I was monitoring a Twitter account that was like, it might open today. And then I was like, I think it's going to open. I'm going to go up there. And he was like, I got like things to do. It's the middle of the afternoon. And I was like, I'm going to go up there. And they put us in a holding like pen and like an area for people to wait. And then it was like, is it going to open? Is it going to open? And then like I waited like an hour and a half and it did. And I was like one of the first 30 people in the first soft opening of the Hollywood Harry Potter land.
Oh, yes, because by the end of the day, there was a video posted by somebody else who was in there, like a theme park vlogger person, and I watched it, and I could see you in the line.
Is that true?
Yes. Yeah. Did I tell you that at the time?
I feel like I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Someone else who was there, who was checking it to such an extent that they were there immediately, then had the video up several hours later, and you were in the line in the video.
And I mean, I went the next day because I think it was inside Universal. I like tweeted at them because they were posting pictures. Is it open? They're like, it is right now. And I got over there and just walked right in.
You're right.
No. I'm having indigestion from this weird coffee energy shot I just
took. Oh, no.
No, it's fine.
It's fine equals don't ask me about this anymore. Mission not accomplished,
isn't
Jason.
That always what no, it's fine means?
Yes, it is.
No, it tasted pretty good.
Well, where did you get it again?
It was like a free coupon at Ralph's. it was like all organic. It was like organic coffee, organic milk, organic sugar, and like it tasted okay. It was just a little sweet.
So
and
the coffee was completely free.
It was completely free because wouldn't buy these energy shot things normally. But
and it claims it's worth like two cups of coffee. Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah,
but it's all hitting you right now.
No, I think I was just kind of burping as I was trying to talk.
You're clutching like, your side.
Oh, my hand is cold.
Oh, okay.
And this throwbacky kind of chunky sweatshirt that you can find on everlay.com is keeping it warm.
Voluntary plug.
Wow.
Voluntary plug.
You're also like twiddling a pen in your hand like you're Groucho.
Yeah, you know what? That might be the coffee kicking in, because I don't normally jiggle a pen as I record, and I realize I've been doing this for about 10 minutes.
You're going to shatter that thing open. You're going to have
excited for coming attractions.
It's 2019, man.
Do you have your fidget spinner?
I don't have my my official Disney-branded fidget spinner on me.
That's too bad.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to be excited about, but, you know, I say let's cut to the chase. Let's talk about the headline, the big thing that has been under construction for a very long time, dragging out and out. And of course, I am talking about an exotic outpost from which endless adventures are possible. You know what I mean? Margaritaville Resort Orlando.
Of course.
It is finally opening in January. No bigger theme park development than this.
We have a listener. We have many listeners who have sent us pictures that live down in Orlando, and somebody just drove by and put it on our Facebook page, and it's just like water slides that you can see from a freeway, basically.
Yes, and the water slides, you can see a gas station.
Mm-hmm. And so anticipation is building.
Yep.
You can feel it.
It's getting out there. The trailers are leaking on YouTube, and by trailers I mean 45 seconds of drone footage taken illegally. Everybody's talking about it. You know, I was looking into some stuff about Margaritaville Orlando in advance of the inevitability that we're all there together. We got to start getting the lay of the land now, because if we get lost like the Shaker of Salt, and then we're losing valuable chill out time. Okay. Do you know the name of the water park?
I feel like I don't.
The Buffett Margaritaville
verse
landscape of the Margaritaville verse. It's a ville and a verse. So our Margaritaville verse, extremely well. You know every possible song that they could name anything after, the from the big ones to the obscure ones. Does anything strike you as what the water park might
be named
after?
One of the songs?
Well, just if you had to guess what it was.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything falls? Mm-hmm. It's not Math Sucks. Water park.
Math sucks, so come to a water park instead.
Right.
It's not the name of the park.
I don't think they'd go with Volcano, with that volcano themed water park down the road.
True. No. That would conflict.
It's not I Will Play for Gumbo Falls.
It is. It's a gumbo. It's all the water is dyed to look like gumbo. So it looks like you're swimming around in a big gumbo pot.
Is it an homage to He Went to Paris, called He Went to the Water Park?
Yeah. Finally, you got
it's not grapefruit, juicy fruit.
it's going to be like the second or third biggest ones after Margaritaville, right?
It's the paradise that the cheeseburgers can be found in. That is the full name of the... No, I don't... Look, what I'm getting at is, It's just Salty Bay or something. You might think it's something like that. Mm. Something like, phoning from a song. The name of the water park is Island H2O Live! !
What?
Water park.
Oh. Thank you, algorithm. Thank you for naming our water park.
Island H2O Live.
What do you... Yeah, exactly. They they put like 50 words in a blender, and then three were selected randomly.
Yeah.
That flow doesn't make Island H2O. Island H2O. Island water. Big time water place. This is nothing. What is this name?
It's especially galling because Frank Bama's Splish Splash Mamma Jamma is right there in front of you.
Wow, Jason, you just came up with some awesome IP. Frank Bama, of course, is Jimmy Buffett's character on Hawaii Five-0.
And his alter ego in his fiction.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tully Mars is his main character.
I suppose, yeah.
There's many different Buffett-verse characters.
Did you just spit that name out? I thought that you were referring to a real place that was there.
No.
Wow.
I spent about 30 seconds trying to figure that out. And I'm as amazed as you are that I got it all out without biting my tongue.
That's an excellent name, and I think there's still time to change it. So you would have to think, Island H2O Live? What do you mean live? Like as opposed to other water? Saturday Night Live is live, unlike other TV shows.
Is that what you saw?
H2O Live? No, it's press not. Release? I saw it somewhere. You have a press release?
Just call it Margaritaville Falls.
Sure.
It's right. I mean...
Yeah.
I'm just tossing out gold here.
Yeah. Let's see if there's anything interesting in here. This was from November 13th. Central Florida's newest and most immersive water park will make waves when Island H2O Live at Margaritaville Resort Orlando opens in spring 2019.
So technically it's at Margaritaville. Is that all part of the title also?
I get... I'll say yes.
So wait, you can buy a ticket for the water park separate from... Margaritaville Resort?
Hold on, let me keep going here. And then there's also a section I'll tease that says behind the technology. Island H2O Live will unleash the power of pure play and enthusiasm with 9 different thrill rides, a lazy river, a wave pool, a kids area, and a river raft ride for the whole family. Designed to enable guests to customize their experience and share it with the world. The park uses a new RFID wristband system, which sounds like that Volcano Bay, that will enable guests to personalize the music and lighting they experience on select rides. Well, now
I'm aboard.
Oh, baby. Wow, this is crazy. So I can listen to Jimmy Buffett's Summer School song with a Z in the middle of it while I'm on this ride.
Summer's School?
Summer's Z.
Like you've fallen asleep? Or summer's cool.
It's both.
Nice.
He's saying you got to have
a
timeout.
Real maestro.
You got to go
double
to summer
word
school.
Play, double entendres. You can listen to summer's school.
Yeah.
In Island H2O Live exclamation.
Yeah, you could
point?
Listen. You can listen to a full the full Beach House on the Moon album. I'm sure. At
in a single
Island
slide
H2O Live. It's a long one. The Lazy River.
Can you make
that's
the
lazy
slide
river.
Slow down? Okay. You can't make the slide go so slow that it takes a full album's length.
No, you can get like the chorus of Despacito on like one of the speed slides.
Not if Mike has anything to do with it. You're not getting any of that Despacito shit. It's all Buffett all the time.
Yeah, no, fuck Despacito with this. It's least in the walls of this water park.
You know,
not in,
gonna,
this
is
in the world.
You know they're only going to play, like the restaurants, they're going to play Jimmy like every third song or fourth song.
They're talking about...
And the rest are like Avril Lavigne. It's something that's not even in the world of Buffett.
Another high-tech feature, Be Live, invites guests to sing karaoke or star in other audiovisual experiences with clips from these sessions shared through the app. The gamified app.
Be Live?
Yeah.
It's a water park. What are you talking about?
The gamified?
Gamified
app also allows guests to earn loyalty points with every ride. Now, Jason's on board for this.
Oh, I love experiences and activations. I love gamifying my content and all my fate. I love properties.
How about that? We all love properties. Guests can win prizes such as free food and beverage items, skip the line passes, and more.
Well, now you have my attention.
Mm-hmm. Now this part says personalized paradise. The experience at Island H2O Live will be all about creating your own unique, customized experience. For those looking to soak in the island vibe, listen to music, and have some chill with their thrill, tropically inspired havens will abound with hammocks, cabanas, and soft sand beaches around every turn. And adult-only areas will offer cocktails only steps from your beach chair.
And that's, nudity?
I don't think that's involved. To keep the fun going, Island H2O Live is within walking distance or a short trolley ride to Margaritaville Orlando Resort Hotel and Cottages.
And go back to that trolley ride? Did I hear a mode of transit?
Yep. I don't know if it's a Margaritaville branded trolley though. And then they just list all the other. They list that you're in walking distance to a BurgerFi, Capone's, Ford's Garage, Game Time, Skechers, and more.
Well, that takes us to another area of this that there. I didn't realize this about Margaritaville Resort Orlando is that they are also building a new outdoor shopping complex as part of it. And it is called Sunset Walk. So something tells me that the gang here is going to have to take a walk.
Oh, yeah.
Let's all take a sunset walk.
I've got another.
Yes.
They should have called it, this would get dicey with copyrights. Flip Flop Shop Stop.
That's good.
Oh, okay. Flip Flop Stop and Shop. Sure. There we go. There's a little bit of a difference.
But don't get too drunk over there, because then the flip-flop Stop and Shop cops will give you the drop.
Well, and you might step on a pop-top. That's the biggest concern, because this shopping mall is filled with loose pop-tops. A beer delivery method that has not been used in decades.
That seems in Buffett style, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, there is a mall being built that's part of Margaritaville. At this point, we're facing the dilemma of, are we going to have to go do a trip where we don't even step foot in Disney or Universal? A trip that is entirely about us and the old us and the keeper, who's going to have a whole new world of sectors to keep.
Well, if he's out of the clink from all that copper wiring he's been stealing from abandoned houses.
Well, that's right.
He's a dirtbag.
He's
now,
been up
remember?
To no. Yeah. He's not. We've been keeping tabs. He is not the sweet boy you recall.
Yeah.
I have on this press release a media contact. So maybe we see what they can do for us.
All right. This is a big adventure coming our way. But I also, the things that were not in that list that of stuff that's at Sunset Walk, you got a Rockin' Brews.
Yes.
Of course, the half of Kiss owned
wow.
restaurant.
What sort of treaty or parlay did they need to come up with to get the Margaritaville brands and Rockin' Brew brands to work together?
The Parrot Heads and Kiss Army, notorious enemies, and it's ended in bloodshed before. Mm-hmm. So to get them to work together, we'll see. Black magic had to be employed.
There's no Cabo Wabo Cantina, is there?
I don't believe so. But you know what you got? You got a Skechers that might have been in your list.
That was in there, yeah.
And you've also got an Itch Sugar. Just like City was like our beloved city. There's a lot in common between City Walk and Sunset Walk.
And there's no It's Sugar at the Orlando City Walk.
I don't believe I saw one last time I was there.
This is potentially, or unless I'm way off, could be Orlando's first It's Sugar. Wow. Or I look and it's like it's 7th.
50th.
are you just going to have to move there or be like a bi-coastal? I don't think 4 days is going to give you the hit you need. I feel like, Mike, we're going to lose you for like a couple months.
The vacation will have to be at least a month. I'm looking here. There's an It's Sugar Orlando International Outlet.
Oh, but that's at the outlet malls probably, right?
Well, I think, yeah.
There's an outlet in the name.
There's two of them.
So that's all like spoiled edible underwear.
Yeah. It's like a week from going bad.
It's like, yeah, it's like the foodstuffs at a Marshall's or a TJ Maxx.
You can eat the underwear, but do it fast.
Yeah.
Eat it fast, please.
The clock's ticking. So there's a lot of stuff going on down there. And also, like, this is something that's going to happen in 2019, and we should just emergency get the recording going as soon as we know anything, wherever we are. Let's just, or if somebody has to be on the phone, we should respond to this as quickly live as we can when we find out what the street names are at Margaritaville. Because if you didn't hear us discuss this in a previous episode, Jason, Mike, Anthony, Gio, and I submitted a giant list of names several years ago of recommended streets for Margaritaville Resort, and it remains to be seen if they're going to use any. Now, I was looking into, have any of the street names been declared? It seems like the main drag that gets you into the Margaritaville Resort is Inspiration Street. And that one's on the map. And that could be a leftover potentially from the, like, it was like a Chinese Gardens or something before, I forget. Unless, right. Is that a Buffett thing? Is Inspiration?
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
Buffett somehow?
I'm trying to think. Oh, that might be a lyric in a song.
I feel like he's more into perspiration from sitting out on that hot beach all day.
So, well, there could be a perspiration street that is adjunct to Inspiration Street. Oh, we'll find that out soon. But the only one, there has been an employment fair to start hiring up for Margaritaville Resort Orlando. And the address of the hiring fair, I don't know if it's a permanent building or just a tent. I don't know what people found when they got in there. But you were directed to go apply at 8011 Fins Up Circle. So that's
pretty good.
We got one there. And I don't know if that was on the list. I don't know if that came from us. That might be a basic.
Somebody sent us a couple street names they saw from a government
generic
thing, and they were all pretty generic. I'm trying to remember where that map was. That was that on Facebook?
I'm not sure.
Because there's certain ones like Fins Up where, like, I feel like we have Fins Up something. So, yeah. Like, is there going to be a situation where we claim we made that up, or are they going to say, well, this was obvious?
It's got to be clear cut. It's got to be one of our deeper ones. I don't know if you can remember any offhand.
Short
I was a fan
Street.
Of Short Street. I was pushing for Margarita Streeta. I don't remember any of yours, but, like, it's got to be one that's clearly from us.
I'm interested in the employment fair aspect because I feel like I read an article or heard something not too long ago that, like, there is a shortage of labor in Orlando, like not a surplus, which
like they're building. So all these places are building so much, there aren't enough people to work the jobs,
or just like the jobs are kind of thankless and probably underpaid, like housekeeping or custodial, which the answer to that shortage is lure people there with money, pay them more. Come on.
Is it this is where it gets dicey for Mike, because to call the nameless the faceless Disney and Universal corporations, to call them greedy or say they're not spreading the wealth is one thing, but to put the blame back at your hero Mr. Buffett.
Well, yeah, it's a different situation because, like, he has a different lifestyle, and like the brand is just a totally different brand. So there's obviously like economic concerns that you guys aren't even thinking about when we're talking about the Margaritaville like brand and lifestyle, and like Jimmy himself as sort of an entrepreneur. Like, he needs to have a lot more capital on hand to make bigger, more innovative changes with the business. So I think, yeah, like, I think it's totally unfair to sort of put them in the same box.
No,
yeah, I mean, that is we were passing around a Times article a while back from when Jimmy was working on the musical, which has since closed, that, like,
right,
the one,
like,
thing Jimmy doesn't really do nowadays because of all his endeavors is really live the lifestyle.
Right. He's too busy.
Also,
but it kind of confirms my Instagram theory of them shoot, like, doing a photo shoot with him on a beach once a month and then spreading it out during the month to make it look like he's just constantly on the beach.
To make it look like he's not in a boardroom trying to soak those minimum wage workers for as many benefits as they can.
Well, they won't work for lower. What do you mean? Meanwhile, like, an intern is posting, like, him in a hammock with a big coconut drink and, like, I love life, it says under it.
If they were truly part of this lifestyle, they'd work for gumbo. Well, so that's all exciting. There are non-margarita centric events occurring.
Yes,
theme park
believe
world.
It or not, there's more.
What else do we got? Let me see. The Skyliner is opening. We talked a little about the Skyliner when we talked about the monorail.
Yeah.
The gondolas that are going to be a new transit system.
Yeah, connecting a crop of Disneyland hotels and connecting Epcot at the International Gateway and connecting Hollywood Studios, showing my age. I'm interested. I mean, I think that'll be cool. I'm always down for new modes of transit.
We know.
I think anything around MGM Studios is mostly going to be get people out of Star Wars stuff. Mostly distractions from the potential crowd nightmare that will be Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
As
we're talking
said,
about, do we delay it or not? But why not? Disney World and Disneyland.
We're going to start by quizzing Scott on the three different locations that you could refer to Star Wars Land as. Obviously, we said one already.
I know them now. Now I know it's...
So, you know the planet name?
Is it Batuu?
It's Batuu. Batu.
But what's the town called?
Black Spire Outpost.
That's good. Good. Very good.
You've hammered it in.
And number three...
Well, I was saying Galaxy's Edge. I'm saying Galaxy's Edge.
Star Wars basically. Galaxy's Edge.
I was making sure there was not a third that I didn't know.
Oh, or like, the number four, Star Wars Land. The thing Star everyone Land. Will call it.
Yeah, yeah. With the Millennium Falcon ride and the big ride.
And the other, the different ride.
The different ride.
We tweeted about this. We haven't talked about it. On the show, we know the names of the Star Wars rides. And one of the rides is called Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Which is mainly attributing Alec Baldwin's work defeating the Trump agenda.
Sure, yeah, with a quick fist to the face, Baldwin style
to some random guy,
Black Irish karate.
And the other one is called Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
Colon Smuggler's
Colon. Yeah, we need to get. Semicolons and winky faces and every possible and ellipses, every piece of punctuation Disney can jam into a ride name now.
What ride starts this trend of like Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout?
Twister Ride It Out. That's the one I said it a lot in that episode. Yeah. That's the totally the predecessor of this new bizarre way things are named.
I mean, in all fairness, we do have a podcast with a colon in the name, and
but we're not a ride. No, well, we are a ride, but we're not
sure. But like some of the services we have engaged, Patreon, and there was a set. I don't know if it's on TeePublic. One of them does not allow you to have a colon in like your username or something like that. So
we've been stripped of our precious colon
in certain sections of a website that you would never notice unless you went hunting for it. Surprised no one called it out yet. Also, well, patreon.com/podcasttheride, you don't put a colon in the later
part.
No,
that would send you to the wrong...
That would break the...
You'd get a virus from
break that. The internet, like Ralph himself.
Is it Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Colon Railway?
No, it should be.
Semicolon.
Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway. Rail? Question mark? Way. Mm-hmm. Exclamation point.
That one, I guess the Mickey and Minnie, that is a pretty good name, I feel like.
That one's fine.
I like that one.
Yeah, but
I
it does feel like it's a lot of, there's too many
more
words.
More than two words often in a name.
Two thoughts is, I think, the problem.
Yeah.
Two or three, like, thoughts is what's happening here.
Are they both called Star Wars this?
Maybe like, technically.
Like, yeah. So that's, but you feel the legalese of it, and you know no human being is going to... Who will ever, like a child will not say, we have to get to Star Wars, Rise of the Resistance.
Do you guys want to ride Rise of the Resistance?
It takes you back to the days of Michael Eisner wanting to call the ride Star Ride back in the early days. But I think it's, I don't know, I think you'd be lucky to have as tidy of a name as Star Ride.
What we know about this ride is that it's like you're escaping from the jail. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't really suggest anything about that. Who knows? Like, that could not be the ride. But like
you're talking Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, excuse me.
Rise of the Resistance is about a jail escape.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the code name Alcatraz for a long time.
And they called it like Battle Escape, essentially.
Yeah, Battle Escape's
better, I think.
Yeah,
it's more exciting. It's a ride about a rise of a movement.
Yeah, because the Rise of the Resistance is like... That's what's happening in the galaxy, but that's not what's happening to you.
The entire the story of the Resistance Rising, which takes three films to tell, will just happen in 3 minutes in one ride.
Yeah. I think
I don't know what people are going to call that. Well, because, you know, I watched that holiday, that 2-hour, one of the holiday specials, and they kept asking... The performers, what did they ride? And everyone just kept saying, I rode the Avatar. I rode Avatar. Even though there's two, like, no one's...
Oh, they aren't even... Disney's allowing
people
to not...
Disney was allowing it, I think, because it was like, they didn't They were just like, well, Meghan Trainor just performed. It's going to look better if we don't cut and we just talk to her naturally or whatever. But it was...
No one's saying like, wait a minute.
I had some problems with Meghan Trainor in the last special, and now you're telling me she didn't use the full title Avatar Flight of Passage? Meghan Trainor, you were on Scott's shit list.
Or the boat. What the hell? What is that boat?
The Navi River Journey?
Yeah.
I believe is what it's called.
But like, I think people will just call it like the Millennium Falcon ride and the other, or the big ride or something.
I think by not calling these things something specific, you're forcing people to sort of use a generic thing.
And invent their own name. There will be like a populist name for these rides, essentially.
I think you should come up with something as good and catchy as Space Mountain or something for each thing that would independently... Fine, that's fine too.
I think when we will know more, once we know what the ride actually is, like, will people call it the escape ride or the lightsaber? Because, like, there's talk about, like, you're in a ride vehicle, halfway through you get out, then the experience changes, and there's patents for, like, a lightsaber. Was there a
I think that's
a
not.
Helmet? That's not.
That's not on the ride.
Maybe that's early stuff. We don't really know.
We don't really know.
What I think I know. Can I tell you what I think I know?
Yeah,
sure.
What I think I know is that the first part of the ride, as you wait in line, the whole thing, the whole premise of the ride is that you're just going on a regular space flight, like Star Tours. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, by
you're
the way, this might be legit
Magic
spoilers.
Rising Bread.
Yes.
you're in a Magic Rising Bread line.
Yeah, you're in the bread line, and they're like, let's go up to space and eat your bread while you look out onto space.
It's going to taste better up there. You get kind of more oxygen into it. It aerates it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So you go in there. And you go in a ship like Star Tours. It's a simulator. You go up and it's fun. You're in space. And then all of a sudden you get caught in a tractor beam from a big Imperial Star Destroyer and they pull you in. And at that point, then you deboard in a hangar and you walk through a giant hangar with a ton of robots. And that's the second part of the line. So you have the first part of the ride when you say get off is just that Star Tour simulator that takes you up until the prison. So now they're putting you in prison. You're walking, which is secretly another queue. And then at that point, you get loaded into those fun vehicles that they showed at D23 and in that teaser. And there's like 8 and 8 and it's a trackless Wi-Fi thing. Uh-huh. And at that point, that thing zips around. And by the way, look up these teasers that they just released, which are actual on-ride footage from Anaheim.
We're filmed on the sets.
There's actors
walking around. And I didn't realize that until you said it. And when I went back and watched it, I was like, that does look really cool. Like, it looks like a full set.
Because what's extra cool about it is it's Wi-Fi, so there's not even tracks in the ground.
Yeah.
So you won't know where you're going in it.
Wow.
So it's basically like you just built the movie sets. And this car that can drive anywhere is just going to drive around it, which
and it
is
might
gonna,
change from.
That's what I'm thinking.
Visit to visit.
I'm assuming there'll be some variations because that's what they do now.
And we have not seen that in the trackless systems in domestic Disney parks. They have them in Japan.
Right. They had a Pooh's Honey Hunt.
Yeah.
Which, apologies, Scott, that you're not going
to
get
to see
do
it. It's going to be closer when I'm there.
Or this year, excuse me.
This year.
Sorry,
yeah.
It's this year.
I'm good. That's side note. Big theme park development for me personally. I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Tokyo Disneyland, Tokyo Disney Sea, and Sanrio Puro Land.
Oh yeah,
all in my future.
And Tokyo
I
Dome
did
City,
make
maybe?
The decision to not do.
Not that.
I'll do the Dome City.
Okay, yeah.
No Universal Osaka for me.
That's what we decided.
Yeah, sizable distance between the two. Sure.
Yeah, and we thought about it and like yeah, but if we if we went, I could go take a picture under the King Kong in City Walk Osaka, and we could post it on the Twitter. And I said that, and Aaron and I both like just stare at each other in silence, and then we're like, okay, so maybe not do Osaka. Maybe let's go there. So apologies, no picture.
Yeah. We were just talking Star Wars. So yeah, so that's the rumor of what the ride is, and then at that point you're shooting through, and then I guess the Resistance comes to save you. Mm. I'm hoping that droid. There's a droid on each car.
Is that, do we know that?
For 100%, you can see in the picture.
Oh.
They're a little black droid in the car in the front, and he's like, bad, but I hope he's not. Like, I hope he turns.
I see.
So each car has a droid on it, which is fantastic.
Cool.
I also, by the way, this is just a side note. I was going through the mice chat message boards. These fuckers are like, this video doesn't excite me at all about this ride.
Shots fired in 2019.
I couldn't believe it. Like, multiple people being like, what is this show? This isn't as good as this Space Mountain teaser from the 70s. And it was like, yeah, this Space Mountain 70s.
To be fair, the Space Mountain teaser from the 70s is one of the best things ever.
It's fantastic, but it's a different thing. Mm-hmm. And I can't, like, the idea that you wouldn't be like, oh, they really, like, recreated a Star Destroyer
set. The Millennium Falcon teaser that was filmed in the cockpit?
Yes, I believe so,
That looks cool, too.
It looks fantastic.
Which, it's funny that, like, this sort of practical thing that was created out of scraps and whatever pieces they could afford in the 70s have become so iconic. It's just, like, switches and shit. Like.
So,
oh, yeah, that's true. We're essentially... Like, yeah, it's like original Star Wars is a little like junky and janky. And now we're like perfectly recreating
the shitty
what
thing.
They like through, which it does speak to like the inventive spirit of the original Star Wars.
With leading edge technology, like the way they're going to have to render the footage in the Millennium Falcon ride with like room for individual,
six
like
people?
If you shoot a wall, the wall explodes, but maybe you don't shoot that wall every time.
Well, no, you don't shoot for sure. It has to be, it's fully. So anyway, so there's also this video showing the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, which is the other ride, which is a giant video game, essentially. It's a giant simulator, but all the graphics are rendered in real time.
Yeah.
So it's like, that basically means that like you can fully make everything, if you want to blow everything up in the scene you're in, you can. I don't know that that'll be possible, but it means that there's
but
like a lot of flexibility,
room for customization,
a lot of room is what
like
I'm saying.
A high end, there. If you imagine like a really high end computer, it takes 8 of those to run one of these cockpits, or it's some insane amount of processing power.
And it's like it's 6. This is just totally nerding out, but it's like 6 people I think in a cockpit, which also makes it like such an intimate experience because you're in the cockpit with just 6 people. It's not like it's not an open air. Most rides are like 6 people, 8 people, whatever. But like you're in this tiny thing with 6 people and you're in like you're in the thing. Like they've recreated it perfectly. You're in the cockpit.
How many cockpits?
I don't know.
Like 20?
Hopefully, because the thing's going to have such a shitty capacity.
You're
going
to have thousands and thousands throughput in an app for an hour.
But I was thinking like in that video, they show like close-ups of all the switches and the dials and shit. And it's like, yeah, that really... Like, imagine going in the Batmobile. Like, imagine doing a ride in the Batmobile or whatever vehicle you like from your thing. Like, being recreated perfectly and then just getting to do it. Because, like, for a long... Like, anything... I feel like a lot of rides based on TV, movie, or whatever, like, they get close to the promise of it. But this really feels like it's it. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, at least, when I watch that teaser of, like, wow, I am going to, like, hit the switch... Like, I dreamed about hitting the switch in the fucking Millennium Falcon, and now I'm going to get to do it. So, like...
The switch.
So exciting.
Yeah.
Both of these rides.
It's really something, and it gives you, like... which it shows you how like... Think about how in 1986, Star Tours was a satisfying...
Yeah.
You enter the world of Star Wars, and what they chose as representing that is totally acceptable and great. And the way that the films have grown and all the... I mean, obviously, there's been, you know, many movies since then, and the universe has expanded, but the way, like, there is now need for totally different micro experiences within Star Wars, it's almost a little, like... I mean, obviously, you could invent an entire park of Disneyland size that is all Star Wars stuff, which is true of Harry Potter as well. And you got to wonder, like, if there's already discussion of that or how you...
I'm sure that people float those ideas. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, one of the rumors for Universal's still unannounced third park in Florida is like, well, this will have the American... magic, or it'll have some sort of Fantastic Beasts sort of element.
Oh, I see.
To complement the other Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, it is funny because, like, I think for years, once they have the Star Wars ride in Disneyland or Disney World, as a kid, even you're like, got the Star Wars ride.
Yeah,
that's it. You mm-hmm. in your kid head, I don't think you were thinking, well, they should do a ride about the AT-ATs and they should do a ride about the I want to fly the Falcon.
I want to go to a street market and a restaurant and a bar.
Right.
Like, I'm interested in that. Like after the way Cars Land turned out, and so much what I like about Cars Land is just the placemaking and the level of detail And that is a very important part of the Star Wars films. But if you're just watching it for the character stories, I feel like it's very easy to glaze over this sort of like, you know, dirty, breathing galaxy that surrounds these characters. Very interested to see what they do with that in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, and it's kind of a lot, like, yeah, we're talking all about the rides, but it does seem like, you know, look, we've all done it. I was up at Harry Potter the other day, and, like, I didn't even go on the main ride. Like, so much time you end up spending, like, I'm just going to go down this weird little alley. And it seems like clearly they're trying to cut into that piece of things. And it's, though I think the crowds are going to be hellish at this thing, it's going to help in the long run that, all right, a lot of people are rushing to go to the ride, but a lot of other people are just meandering around side streets and looking in what's in this window, and let's all just be in this shop for an hour.
The Toydarian toy shop you might be talking about?
I guess I am.
Watto's brand of alien to the Toydarian?
I failed that test. I'll try to have the right answer next time.
Well, with aliens, too, like with Star Wars aliens wandering around, talking to you, potentially engaging with you or yelling at you if you messed up the Falcon. Like,
now let me say this. I don't want to do that. I don't want anybody talking to me. I'm a guy who goes into a store. I don't want anybody bothering me. I'm afraid of being harassed by streetmosphere people. Like, I made it through the Brooklyn people in the window talking to me at Universal, and I even improv with them a little, and that was fun, but they're at a distance. Some monster in my face, I don't know, man.
I bet the distinction in your brain is this, and I could be wrong, but if it's like a humanoid looking person with a little makeup or something, or just, you know, an alien smock on, you probably don't want to deal with them. But if there's a full puppet man or like a vendor who's a big creature that talks, I think you're going to be all into that.
Yeah,
you like talking to like animal. You like talking to robot animals and stuff.
Sure.
So if there's a thing that doesn't look like a human, I feel like you might be into it.
Interested in the mechanics of it and just watching it go by. I still am going to be more into like he's talking to a group of eight people, or I watch it from a little distance.
Right.
I don't think I need to be talking to the guy, though. Now I'm recalling the video of you, Mike, like yelling at Kylo Ren with specific dialogue.
Yes.
Well, you will be all over there. You will nail this thing.
I had to psych myself up to do that, though, because I generally don't. I feel too on the spot. And I remember going, I'm going to say something to Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I didn't plan it out, but I was just going to respond. I respond to whatever he says. So I think I have to get psyched into it, too, because
I don't
remember
what you said. I did. I liked that. That was just pure like 12-year-olds.
Yeah, I think I just was a contrary to him. I think
I will never give in to the.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I said. And I remember I was like, yeah, I will never give up on the resistance or something. And then he said something like, I will rule the galaxy or something. I go, yeah, but what if you don't or something? I said it was something along those lines. It was very simple.
Cool. That's pretty good.
And it was fun, and I was thrilled to have the video. So, yeah, you want a video with you talking to a Star Wars character?
I don't like talking to the characters, but I was up at Universal recently with a friend, Buzz, and we did interact with Beetlejuice, and I told him to have a gross day.
I mean, that's
pretty
great.
Pretty good.
I'm saying that. I don't think he heard me.
this is a larger maybe discussion about performers in parks, but I do think it's sometimes performer specific as well. If I feel like engaging, because some performers you go, this is a little too much, or like, I don't want to deal with this. But sometimes a person there or a ride operator impresses me so much, I want to engage with them. It depends. You can win me over even if I'm sort of not feeling social or feeling like I need to perform or something. But if you have a bit or something that I like we were just on Guardians. It was the Halloween overlay.
Monsters After Dark.
And a guy, usually people are okay on that ride. They don't have fun bits, but this guy did a bit. And the whole premise of the ride is that the monsters are out. Everything is going to shit. And like, you just got to get up there, get Groot and get down. But like, be careful because monsters are going to eat you. This guy had a full bit he had developed where he was a monster that escaped and stole someone's clothes. And like, he was doing the whole thing. I loved it. I was like, this guy's great.
I went on it once and a guy was doing a different bit where he was like clearly in a daze. He's like, this isn't normally my job. Stuff is just kind of weird right now. I'm a janitor. Like, he seemed really confused.
That's kind of fun. I like kind of like
that. He turns around and his shirt has a giant hole with burn marks on the back. And
that's
I was
good.
Like, wow,
like
they
that.
Let them have some fun with this.
But this, I wasn't like going back and forth with this guy. I was just, but I was like more willing to be like, yeah. And like, I respond like excitedly responding to him. So I do feel like in any different parts of the park, depending on what the performer's doing, I'm more willing to like go up to them or I'm more willing to banter.
I think it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate like immersive theater kind of techniques while also making it palatable for a general audience and also doing it with like the biggest crowd influx maybe in theme park history. For the immersive stuff, we should have a friend of the show and regular guest Eva Anderson on to give us a perspective of the immersive thing, because that is also
she
like
should be consulting on Star
she should
Wars
be
Land.
Consulting or that what's it called in Utah that the void people are making ever
I can't remember. I know what you're talking about. It's not Everlane.
It's not Everlane. That's where you go for great quality essential.
Everwood or something. I don't know.
And
we could talk. There's more stuff to get to, so we'll wrap up the Star Wars part. But there's the biggest thing we haven't even talked about, especially for you, of course, is to see your old friend again, your favorite character in fiction.
And it, I think I dropped it in an episode a little while back. But this, according to Jim Hill, Paul Reubens is back as Rex.
Fantastic.
Or at least they asked him, which is a weird piece of news to give if it's not a done deal. But hopefully, fingers crossed. And yeah, yes, you're right. All rules out the window. If I can talk to Rex for a while.
If Rex will respond to you or something, like,
yeah.
I mean, that would be the dream.
Yeah.
But I mean, probably he's just going to be like a Sunny Eclipse style thing where he has a kind of a thing, like a track runs over.
I think so. So I will I'll just go home and while I'm falling asleep, imagine the moment where he's like, I think you're cool, Scott.
Yeah.
I will say though, the Mr. Potato Head at the Toy Story ride, it does talk to you.
Yeah.
They're like customized. I think
there are specific things.
There seems like an area of these things where they can sort of tailor it to who is in front of them.
Right.
But it's not asking about your name or your profession.
Right. So maybe he's going to say you're a cool guy, but you will still not get that Scott. He won't say Scott.
Yeah.
Rex, but he might say you're a cool
guy. I'll film a bunch of video of him and edit all the sound bites when I can find two specific words that conform Scott, or I'll pull it out of, if he said butterscotch and I could just pull Scott out of that.
Evermore Park. Evermore Park
okay.
in Utah.
Got
Sorry it.
It
took me so long
is
to
the,
pull
like,
that.
Void, is the company's VR
yes.
park.
But it's not VR.
It's not VR. It's like a fully immersive, you interact with people.
There's no rides,
and
though.
And there's sets. Mm-hmm. No, I think it's more like storytelling and immersive play. A friend of the show, Todd Martins, wrote a big thing in the LA Times about it.
Sorry, we'll cut this up. But you were doing a little bit of that last time. I forgot to tell you.
Just, can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it. Yeah.
Okay, shit. Sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, sorry.
I'll cut that out.
Yeah.
Anyway, it looks very cool out there. And also, the Void's R&D department is out there. So please have us out. We'd love to check
yes,
it out.
We would like
Void
to come
people.
Out. Thank you. I would love to go there. But speaking of another place I've never been, so I'm going to talk about a thing very briefly, maybe not briefly. We've never been to Dollywood, but Dollywood is opening an expansion in 2019.
Okay.
And it is called Wildwood Grove.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a pretty big expansion in the Dollywood, in relation to the other, like the size of the park, I should say. And it's got like, it's very, are you guys familiar with this a little bit or no?
I saw a little.
It's like very colorful, a lot of lights. There's a ride called the Black Bear Trail, it's a very kid ride where you ride on the back of a black bear.
That's fun.
Pretty good. Sycamore Swing, which is basically just a swing ride, like that big, like a ship that goes up and down. Frog and Fireflies, which is a kid ride. The Mad Mockingbird, which is again a kid ride where you ride. It's a lot of animals. You're riding on a lot of animals, which is nice.
Fun.
Dragon Flyer, which looks like a little bit of a coaster.
Okay.
But the whole thing is it's going to have like very, a lot of lights. It'll be very cool at night. What I'm extra excited about is the new characters being introduced.
Oh.
There are three new characters.
Oh, boy.
There's not a ton on them, but we kind of like that better, I feel like.
Yes. Leave it as a mystery. You mm-hmm. have to go there in person to figure it out.
So meet Franklin Frog.
Mm-hmm.
What a personality this happy inhabitant has. Playful and jolly, this guy has more personality than your average amphibian. He likes crowds and is more than happy to demonstrate his riveting skills. So this thing mentions twice how good of a personality, but then is not that specific about his personality.
He has a lot of personality.
Yeah. So they have to come back.
He likes adventure, and he's a real foodie.
And he loves content.
Oh, he loves content.
This is Benjamin Bear. Benjamin Bear gives the warmest, friendliest, cuddly hugs in all the land. His happy demeanor.
Weird thing to lead with in this modern day and age.
Fair enough. He's going to get me too'd. His happy demeanor is evident in his hugs. No wonder. There's just not a more genuine bear in all the forest. Huh?
Shots fired at all the other bears.
Yeah,
disingenuous bears.
But no, he's the most genuine bear. Again, this kind of just talks about his hugs twice, and then he's genuine. And then the last two characters are Flit and Flutter. Wait, now
are they bugs?
They are like fairies, I think.
Oh. Mm.
In a land inhabited by hundreds of rainbow, god damn it, butterflies, Flit and Flutter are ambassadors of beauty and grace as they make their way around Wildwood Grove.
Wow.
Can you angrily deal with the flash sight of Wildwood Grove, Dollywood critter
their
zone?
Famous catchphrase, god damn it.
That is, Dolly would not be happy with me cursing in the middle of this.
Yeah.
The one thing I don't put up with is swearing.
Yeah.
Don't like swears.
She don't like swears. Anyway, we were invited to a press conference for this announcement last year.
Press conference?
Yeah, but they didn't realize that we were not
in Pigeon Forge.
Oh, y'all not Pigeon Forge?
Y'all ain't Forgers? Forge. We'd love to see Pigeon Forge.
So I'm saying, though, that when Wildwood opens, I email again and we see if we can go meet Benjamin Bear and get one of his trademark hugs.
Because you know where
I
we
want
can...
the first hug, damn it. I don't want some run-of-the-mill, the 700th hug. I'm number one.
And you know where we could stay in Pigeon Forge?
I do.
Margaritaville Hotel.
Blum, 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 blum.
So I've never been to, speaking of things we've never been to, I think this is interesting. We haven't really addressed Legoland that much. I think it's come up on the show. Mm-hmm. But I've never been to either of them. There's one in Southern California, and then there's one in Florida, and there's a few others around the globe. In Florida, they are opening a full Lego Movie Land with three new attractions.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
I believe it is a re-theming of an existing land, but they are new rides. And I think it's notable to point out because it is like, oh, this is a brand new land based off like a very successful box office hit with a sequel on the way. So I'm curious to see how that works out. I've heard people with little kids too tend to gravitate towards Legoland. I think it's very affordable and very, very fun for kids.
Someone was just telling me, they're like, you got to go to Legoland. I was like, oh, okay. So I feel like people speak highly of it. Do you know the rides or no?
No.
Okay.
I do not.
Never mind.
I read about it. They're out there. The Theme Park Insider, I think, has a rundown of them.
There.
They have hotels too. They have like Lego themed hotels that look very cool.
Sure.
Neat.
That
sounds good. And yeah, Lego Movie is a pretty big franchise to have rides based on. So
yeah.
that'll be a big deal.
Yeah. Is Lego Batman involved or is that too dicey?
No, I don't think so. I think it's mostly the main characters.
Because I like the fun. I like that movie okay, but I like that there's all the villains and I like that Billy Dee Williams is Two-Face and Conan O'Brien is the Riddler. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw it together
each,
and we were like, oh, we want it more from the characters.
Yeah.
Well,
if this can turn into a review of the Lego Movie, then yes, I wanted to, like, I don't know why Harry Potter characters show up and then they're like take over and like Godzilla and non-Batman characters when we had all the fun villains at the start.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
All right.
Well, you've got a similar thing going on in the, I have recently been dissatisfied by the film Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh, I know.
I understand. Getting all the princesses together, sure, got it. But in the internet, The princesses right. are in the internet, and there literally hits a point where, like, Ralph's, like, swinging around a Pinterest pin, and then all the princesses, like, rescue him in the internet. There's an internet problem, and the princesses have to solve it. Uh-huh. Things are getting real. People are real confused these days.
Yeah. I also, I mean, that first, like, one of the first preview images where it's, like, they're in what looks like a train station or something, and there's all the different portals to, like, Marvel, Pixar, and I'm mm-hmm. like, that's not, that's feels more dystopian than fun to me. The way you have released it as like, look at this. This is what we're leading with. And it's like, oh, I don't know.
Is that still in the movie?
What?
When they go to like the portals of the internet, like the crossroads of the internet, and they see Marvel and Star Wars and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's, oh, that my, happens. Oh, and my Disney. Like a, you like go down a hallway and there's a stormtrooper and there's Grumpy. Like, yeah, finally. The general idea of stormtroopers and Grumpy meet, sort of not. Like one like passes by the other.
Right. The promise of all of that is so much greater than what probably ends up happening.
Yeah. And it all happens so fast. And also it's all predicated on the website excuse is that it's all promoting something called OhMyDisney.com, which I'm a we're theme park podcasters for hours a week. I've never heard of OhMyDisney.com. Uh-huh. Hey, I guess, hey, it worked. Now I'm talking about it. Yeah. Now I know about it.
Honestly, if they had just said it's all because of Disney Plus or whatever, which is another tangentially.
If the movie was the reveal of the streaming service.
That makes more sense to me. I think the problem with this, and one thing that the problem with this seems like it gets an issue. It's something wrong with what was good about the first movie, which the movie was specifically just video games. Mm-hmm. And all of the characters from the video games interact. And look, they got Sonic and they got the Street Fighter people. Like, the internet, one, it's encompasses all things. Mm-hmm. And so much...
And the internet at present is a terrifying hellscape.
It's a dark place.
Yes.
I mean, I'm concerned, just the phrase, the Disney princesses on the internet. I'm like, oh, those princesses aren't going to fare well.
Don't Google, don't Google that.
Girls,
stay
run.
Stay away from
Leave.
Reddit, girls.
Flee.
don't look at John Lasseter's computer.
I've
probably said this before, at D23, and I was watching their movie panel, which is always like 3 hours long. And it is fun because I like, as you know, I like being in a big room with a bunch of people who are excited about stuff. So when I'm in the room, I texted everyone excitedly when they revealed Rex was going to be in Star Wars Land. Everyone in this room got a text from me, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was everyone in the room went nuts. Mm-hmm. As if like the Rolling Stones in 1972 are taking the stage. They were like, and a friend will be joining us again in Star Wars Land. It's Rex. And everyone went nuts. And I'm like, this is great.
Yep. I would have. Good thing I wasn't there. I would have lost my voice.
Yeah.
You like Beatlemania for me.
Rushed the stage and passed out.
Smelling salt, Scott, here.
But they were showing movie stuff and like boring movie stuff. There was that Chris Pine boat movie that people were still cheering and applauding, happy to see Chris Pine. And then Ralph breaks the internet and they show the scene with OhMyDisney and Marvel and Star Wars. And you could feel in the room that everyone was like,
it's a bit stress.
Okay. And then the princess scene, which doesn't make any sense in the context, but then that played well and the audience then was won over and loved. Because it is fun to see all the princesses together.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that just make that movie. What the hell is it doing in this weird movie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is fun. I get it, but
you know what
why?
Else is weird is that a lot of, they frame the OhMyDisney thing as essentially, it's a Disney fan site, so the setting of all the Disney stuff is essentially like a Comic-Con hall. So you're in a convention center watching a scene about a convention center, about Disney fandom. It's really...
I'm interested to see if it's different, though, because that's weird. That's a weird, feedback loop.
This is like a second... beat of a comedy, second beat of a sketch. You're talking like where it doesn't line up a lot, where stuff doesn't work, like a sequel to a comedy movie. And it's like, well, now they don't work at Walmart anymore. Now they all work at a water park, and you get to see the characters with these funny traits do this thing. And it's like, oh, kind of missed the mark on
Alex,
that.
The first place. That being said, this was an unbelievably successful film, so I I'm in the wrong. However, I did watch it with an audience that was deadly silent, except for when Miranda Sings showed up, and that was Rolling Stones reception.
Wow.
Yeah, serious, like, giant reaction. But you know what? Let me shift things over to a super exciting area of IP. We've been talking about kind of off the beaten path parks, and in 2019, over in Hershey, Pennsylvania, there will be a thrilling new attraction. With, you know, we've complained about some of these, what some of these rides are called. It'd be impossible to complain about the ride title Reese's Cup Fusion. One word, cup fusion. Now, if you recall on the Hershey Park episode with Evan Susser, we talked about it's a ride called Reese's Extreme Cup Challenge, mm-hmm. which is kind of a shooting gallery Buzz Lightyear style ride, but that's like a extreme sports competition, kind of in like the Simpsons Poochie view of how to be cool for youths today. And it seemed a little like odd and out of date, though fun. I would love to go on that ride, but I didn't realize it's being replaced by another. It seems like probably more of an overlay, but the this new ride is called Reese's Cup Fusion, and Reese's Cup Fusion challenges you. Let me take a breath here. Reese's Cup Fusion challenges you to protect the crystal cup that gathers the world's love for chocolate and peanut butter and uses it to power the Reese's factory. So, I'm only halfway through the description. There is a crystal cup, and the job of the cup gather chocolate love.
In addition to this, Hershey Park is getting a $150 million new entryway called Chocolate Town.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Chocolate World, which is next door. I'll let it slide. It's a new arrival, front gate, 15th coaster, restaurant and bar patio, ice cream parlor, and confectionery scratch kitchen. I think that's where they built, you know, either they make chocolate from scratch or you make it. A 2,200 square foot Starbucks store, the largest kettle cord location at Hershey Park, a one-of-a-kind kisses fountain, a new home for the 100-year-old carousel, and a flagship store. So they're redoing the entire entryway to the park,
mm-hmm.
and a new coaster and this new thing. So
big year for, boy, coming in hot, like out of nowhere, Hershey Park having a mega year.
Well, can I go right back to the ride real quick?
Yes.
The cup that stores love for chocolate. Is that right?
Yeah, this is the world's
gathers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all I have to go off of is this sentence, but I guess like, I don't know. I mean, they hear us on this podcast talking about treats and desserts and such, and I guess that energy in a monstropolis type energy gathering situation somehow comes out of our mouths or stomachs and is filtered and flies through the air all the way to Pennsylvania, and it all is stored in a cup.
And it powers
it. Yes, the Reese's factory is not powered by electricity. It is powered by canned chocolate love, chocolate and peanut butter love. Yeah, which is great, by the way, because a lot of bad global warming reports recently. We need to find alternative energy, and for sure, the love of peanut butter and chocolate is fantastic, and it's endlessly renewable. Obviously,
you're right. If Jason were to go toward this thing, would it overheat and the whole place blow up because it couldn't store that much love for peanut butter and chocolate?
The crystal is melting.
Yeah.
the cup is losing its shape.
You get it. You understand now? Everything makes sense? Now
I guess,
about the crystal?
Yeah.
Yes, I can't believe we even had to explain this.
There's a crystal cup, and if Jason walked up to it, it would shake and shatter because his love is too strong.
His love is the strongest on Earth. Of all Earthlings, he loves chocolate and peanut butter the most.
That's probably true. I mean, that might be true. I mean, in the way that we're saying that, like, some of the logic is off in Ralph Breaks the Internet, the logic behind this, the game of the chocolate crystal is perfect and needs
The crystal cup.
The crystal cup.
Crystal cup. So you're protecting it on the ride?
You're protecting it. Let me say the rest of the plot. The crystal cup is under attack I can't even get through that sentence. I'm so choked up.
Yeah,
these bastards are trying to take the cup into their own hands.
Jason's
the League of Misfit Candy.
Is that right?
That's right. They are also candy, but like, I guess, weird. They're bad. What's the thing from Voodoo Donuts? The box of...
Bucket of misshapens.
They're like a bucket of misshapens. They're all weird, and they are not chocolate or peanut butter, which is the only things that Reese's traffics in.
Well, yeah, first off, I think the bucket of misshapens are benevolent creatures.
I don't doubt that, yes.
But I could see the enemies being like Mary Janes or burnt peanuts or circus peanuts, like, well, these sort of candies, like, oh, I don't want this if you go trick or treating.
They're weird, like, novelty flavors that taste like poop or like, you know, black licorice with chili spice.
Yes.
They're like nightmare flavors, maybe.
They that should be my like guess. Call them like bad and plenties. Like, if there's some bad and plenties, you gotta watch out for.
Mean
and plenties.
Mike and Spike. He's mean. Oh, he's much meaner than Ike.
There are a couple of heavies.
I would think they would be like grandma candy, like wrapped, boring, sort of wrapped candies in a big dish or something.
Oh, that are kind of like sedate and like not as they're old timey treats.
Is this
sure?
What is the flavor? Even they've been in there forever. They're 30 years old.
They're like weird. There's a particular type of like chalky mint.
Andy's mints.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you say a thing about Andy's mints. He loves.
I do like Andy. Well,
I think I'm probably thinking something worse than what you're talking about.
There's like if you leave them for a while.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's some bad grandma candy. They're bitter about having been trapped in a vase for so long, and they want in on that Reese's factory. They want the cup's power for themselves. So along the way, you must zap the League of Misfit Candy members and save the factory.
Which I like now that. I'm picturing that's good.
Jason getting there and being like military precision, super driven, like yelling at other people for not firing enough.
Oh, 11-year-old Jason would have been all in on that. And also 33-year-old Jason is all in on that.
Mm-hmm. Like slapping your dad in the face for not taking it seriously.
If it didn't go well, though, I think he'd be like, everyone out of the car. I'm doing this alone. I'll take care of all of these
taking
misfits.
All the guns, operating them with his toes.
When I get back, you're all being court-martialed.
Perfect score.
Let's hope that the Crystal Cup is never under siege again so that you sorry sacks of shit don't have to be part of this army again.
You have to wear your general's outfit too while you're on the ride.
I can't believe how much came from two sentences about this. This is like meaty. There's a thick chocolate center to this little paragraph about Reese's Cup Fusion.
Wow.
Maybe this is my new VIP of the year. This is you like referring to Mr. Toad as the underground Brian Eno of right. This is the Eno of 2019. Right?
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
New and experimental and using bizarre words that don't roll off the tongue at all.
Lots of exciting things going on in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania also getting the first branded Cartoon Network hotel right outside of Dutch Wonderland. This is a smaller kid-friendly theme park, not too far from Hershey. It's an interesting spot for them to test out a Adventure Time, Powerpuff Girl, Cartoon Network themed hotel, but certainly there is foot traffic there and people to stay, so I'm curious to see how that goes. Defunctland recently had an episode about the long gone Nickelodeon themed hotel in Orlando, which was interesting.
Seems terribly unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It seemed like it had some popularity, but then like a lot of these things, you got to keep them updated. And if you're not doing that, people kind of gravitate away from it.
I know it's kind of off of Cartoon Network, but still every restaurant in that place better be packed with Szechuan sauce. They're in a lot of trouble.
Whoa, it's not Adult Swim themed.
No, sure.
After dark,
they're related. Oh, yes. All right, there you go. Past 10 o'clock.
Right, then Szechuan sauce comes
better
out.
Better be vending machines of Szechuan sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the police department is going to hate that. Their hotel's going to constantly be getting swatted by people not getting their Szechuan sauce.
Overrun.
This place is going to be closed in 2 months.
Yeah.
What else do we got? Hey, right here back in California... And at our increasingly beloved Knott's, We are getting an overlay of the Rapids ride. It is now going to be Calico River Rapids, and there are going to be animatronics on this thing. There's going to be a big old Bigfoot. I'm really excited about this.
Show and scenes. Rapids with show scenes.
Show scenes and tying it into the mythology of everything else, which is what I'm very excited about, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so because now it's Calico. There's the Calico Mine already there, but now it's Calico Rapids. So, like, that's all going to be in some big story universe they're building as well, which is fantastic.
And I love those rides, and the animatronics are going to be done by Garner Holt, who did all the animatronics for those other, for the refurbs of those places. So it's going to be like a, I'm so excited. Those Knott's Dark Rides I'm so fond of. And, that there's essentially going to be a third now. And it's also real, you know, ups the game over at Grizzly River Rapids at California Adventure, which is fine, but there's not much going on theming wise. And now you got a Bigfoot to grapple with over at Knott's. Step it up, DCA.
Grizzly River Run.
What?
Grizzly River Run.
It's not Rapids. It's a run. It's
Grizzly River Run.
Yeah.
I would have had to double check that. Somebody just told me that there is a rapid ride. Or no, wait. There's bear animatronics on a ride in, or maybe it's not a rapid ride. Maybe it's like Big Thunder in Hong Kong.
Yes. Yeah. There's a big crazy animatronic on that thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I'll save it for when I go.
It looks almost exactly like the one we have, except with a big crazy. Yeah, I only recently discovered that.
Interesting.
Yeah. That is, because it's called something. It's a different kind of coaster, different design, sort of. Their equivalent to Big Thunder in Hong Kong is very different. So different episode, not discussed on the Big Thunder one.
What I think on our live episode, Tony Baxter talked about how he and his buddies just sit around and talk about how to fix Knott's. And I feel like maybe the solution is slowly retheming all the rides to tie it into one narrative or into a similar narrative.
One big old story.
Just one year to like each year you retheme like what's that horse ride where you're on a horse?
Pony Express.
It's Calico Pony Express.
Well,
now.
You tie because that Ghost Town Alive interactive thing has been very successful for them too. And I believe that ties into the Calico mythology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Calico extended universe.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
In general, what I'm looking forward in 2019. There's not a lot of details, but I'm looking forward to Haunts. In 2019.
All right.
I'm looking forward to mazes. I'm looking forward to scare actors. I'm going to do Horror Nights. I'm going to do Not Scary Again. And we'll see what else.
I'm excited about that because that will result in episodes where I do no research and I just listen to you.
That's true.
That sounds great because I ain't going.
I'm going haunt after haunt. Jason, can you declare right now? Will you go with me to haunts or will you not?
I'm like 50-50 right now.
So you won't even commit to partial, like going to a couple with me.
That's what 50-50 means.
But I thought you meant 50-50 on even if I'm going or not.
I'm definitely not going all in like you. I think I would check out a little more. I think I'm just going to go a little gradually, a little exposure therapy for me. So
what do you think you would start with? What do you think? Would you do Horror Nights or would you want to go back to Knott's and do half the mazes?
I think I'd do a little more of Knott's.
Okay.
I think Horror Nights is a bit pricey for my taste.
Okay. Now I see. I see what the real problem is here. You're scared of the money.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm also...
Dollars jumping out of your pocket.
Ooh.
You know what I didn't do this year? It was built right next to Boney Island and has been there a lot longer. The Ghost Train, which I think is a more whimsical sort of thing, but also a little more... sinister, so I'm curious about that. In terms of like big e-tickets that we haven't addressed, there's a new Harry Potter roller coaster coming. And I think for my money, I mean, I'm very excited about the Star Wars stuff coming, but I'm a little that's tempered by the crowd predictions and nervousness about the infrastructure holding out.
Yeah,
but this Harry Potter coaster looks like it could be incredible. Scott, I think I alluded to this on another show. This isn't just a launch coaster. This is a multi-launch coaster.
Oh, boy.
What they're rumored about, that this thing might launch you throughout the coaster.
Huh.
And seems to be on trend with the predictions of what are coming. Like, this is a coaster, but there are multiple show scenes.
So you'll stop is the
you'll
rumor.
Stop.
Oh,
and
to
then,
see stuff.
Interesting.
And then you'll shoot.
Sounds cool. Yeah. Does sound cool. I'm getting over it. I think
You're
I
getting
have.
Over it.
This is a fun little like achievement of had I not been put into a corner by right. y'all and Matt Rogers, and I felt like I had to overcome. And I don't know. I think it truly, as I've said before, I think it was like a breathing issue. And Aaron, mm-hmm. Pointed out on in Creditcoaster, I conquered it. I did it. But even doing it a second time, I was nervous. I was nervous mm-hmm. again. And she said, you know what? Open your eyes. I think when you close your eyes, you are imagining worse than is happening.
Right.
And potentially getting more disoriented. Keep those eyes open. I breathe. I think it was a physical issue. And yep. I've figured it out. So I don't know. I'm more launched down at this point.
I always have liked the launches, but I went on Rock and Roller Coaster last March, like two or three times. And the third time, I do feel like my body fully got used to it and got comfortable on it again. So I felt the transition my body was making, and I liked it all the times. But the third time, it was like pure joy, as opposed to the first time, which was fun. But I think I was like a little stiff, a little whatever. So like, I do think there is a lot of like your body being comfortable for some of these things.
Well, that's what I used to really like about the original version of the Incredible Hulk coaster, is that there's dialogue and you can kind of know what's coming when the dialogue is coming.
We have to figure out what the deal is and why we both had headaches on the new Incredible Hulk coaster.
Yeah, because in theory, it should be smoother.
It should be much smoother.
It's not.
Gamma rays.
Too many gamma rays.
I also
right
am not
it last time.
There's like hardly any story now, so that's kind
of. You think
of
that's why you had a headache?
Story.
Just
your brain wasn't
just
occupied.
A disappointment.
Just for a personal thing, Scott, do you think it's possible to break Mission Breakout by the end of the year? Do you think that's even on the horizon?
I think it's a different thing. And Aaron was even honest with me. I was like feeling a little like braver and like maybe should I? And she was like, This is a step above Incredicoaster.
Drafting
is
different.
I get pleasure out of the, like, once I'm past the launch and like and if I can deal with the bigger drops, I get pleasure out of all of it. I don't think the one time I did Tower of Terror, I don't think I enjoyed any aspect of it. I just didn't like it.
The only reason I'm so pushy about it specifically, and I've said this before, it is of sensations on any of these thrill rides, it is my favorite sensation. On the roller coaster, I still get in places I get tense, or sometimes if the loop, my head hurts a little bit or my stomach can't quite deal with it. I've gotten to the point now where the towers, it's pure fun for me. It doesn't like, I'm not sore, I don't hurt. Like, it's just so great. So I don't know, maybe I'm just different, but I don't know. Let me ask you, do you like the sensation of a roller coaster more than you like the Tower of Terror? Or what's your feeling about
it? I don't know. You know, I don't really have a fear of heights.
I do.
You do. Yeah. I think Tower of Terror, especially Florida. Yeah, I mean, I like the dropping. I like hearing everyone screaming. I like the sensations, and I laugh through a lot of it.
Yes.
I just think it's delightful.
But I do think, I mean, I'm not saying don't do it because I'm saying and have a panic attack and then I'm responsible, but
yeah.
But I do think that's probably another like tense, because I think initially, I will say, I think the Mission Breakout will be easier because it's a launch.
Oh, sure.
As opposed
you're
to the other thing. So you won't even have as much time to tense up, because I think that's where so much of this comfort comes in.
I hated that on Maliboomer. I hate
Oh, you
the
did Maliboomer?
I did.
Maliboomer.
Yes.
Oh. Did you ever
when
do
I
Dr.
was trying
Doom?
To impress a girlfriend.
Oh, I didn't even realize this.
In 2005. No, I did Tower of Terror and.
Oh,
California
well,
Scream and Malibu. I did all of it,
but Malibu was on outside.
Yes, that bothered
that would,
me. That but Malibu
was gonna say,
is my least favorite thing I've ever been on.
I've never been on one of the outdoor ones like that, and
I
would flip out on that.
Have neither of you ever done Doctor Doom's
never.
Fearfall?
No.
What?
I'll do.
You don't know about the fear juice?
I know about the fear juice, but and I will look.
He needs it to power his machine.
If we go in 2019, I will do it with you. I don't want to do it, and I think that is for sure a different thing than being inside feeling Jackson 5 playing and you're in a room. I would flip out if I shot up on the Maliboomer, for sure.
Sure. Pretty so like we'll naked. You're falling through the sky. You fell out of a plane.
As we said, I hate the dangling. I hate the legs dangling. Mm-hmm. That bothers me.
Back to the Harry Potter coaster. I mean, not a lot has been officially confirmed yet, but there's been enough. People have pieced stuff together from like overhead pictures, and someone made a emulation of what it would be in like a roller coaster simulator program. Someone also, I think it's Orlando Park Stop, it's a very funny thing over the summer. They kind of like connected all the dots and they put up a blog post and a video saying like, well, from what we all know and what the like physical landscape is like, this is probably what the coaster was. And then apparently they got contacted by Universal and said, who leaked all this to you? Oh. And they said, no one leaked it. We just connected what was out there publicly, and you have kind of de facto confirmed by confronting us. Wow. So, yeah.
That's still suspicious. Somebody could have leaked.
Someone could have leaked.
Because it was very, like, they really seemed to know what they were talking about. Who knows? So, I don't know for sure, but it just.
But, like, multiple launches, a backward section. A drop section potentially where like the coaster drops.
It's like just goes on another level or something. Whoa. Yeah.
Set within the Forbidden Forest, and Hagrid will probably be there and some fantastical creatures. I think in terms of actual experiences, this is like might be one of the top ones coming next year.
Yeah, that was quite a list you just gave. Yeah. That's all insane stuff. And you gotta love, like, it's not this year, but, you know, we're getting Mario Kart stuff soon. And I had, like, anything where you're getting, like, new things a ride is never done.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty cool. Because it's such, as I've said, like, the engineering and the military-grade technology that has to go into this stuff. You're getting, like, these new experiences that, like, shouldn't exist and can only exist because of billions of dollars being spent. Right. It's so cool.
Yeah, the ride vehicles for Mario Kart and for the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster are all like multi-directional things where you can do a roller coaster but flip people around. They're very similar now that I think about it.
So I was reading that. I was a little late to recording today. I was saying because I was reading about patent applications and apparently the difference. So Disney has filed a patent application for a roller coaster ride that looks very similar to Gringotts, and they're like, oh, what's the difference? Well, with Gringotts, the way they rotate the cars, like, it can only be rotated like in that area because the ride itself, the vehicle is pulling power from like charging stations in that area. Disney's patent would be the power is coming from an onboard like battery or generator, which means the cars could rotate in like turns or tight corners that aren't possible with the current like Gringotts sort of technology. So we could see an upgrade of that sort of thing in these storytelling coasters, I think was the...
That's what Bob Chapek called Guardians. Again, we're talking about 2020, but yeah, it's a coaster that like you could put up a lift hill, but then you could tilt the car to the left if there's like a show scene of some kind happening. I don't know how you do that, if it's a screen or if it's robots. And then you could flip it back or flip it behind. So like it gives the thing such a range of motion. The thing that was coolest on the Mario, well, many cool things, but was that you could tilt. It's basically a roller coaster track and then the car built on top of it. But you could tilt it so you could actually make it feel like you were doing jumps. Because you wouldn't be able to see the track because it was so far down. So you'd tilt the car up, and then you'd look like you would jump over, like, you know, whatever, a big space on
a
Mario.
Like a teetery bridge or something, like ramps like you do in Mario Kart, you essentially can do on this ride.
Right. So you would, because you would not be able to see the track. You would not be able to see you were elevated, and it would just feel like you were flying.
You could also spin it, like spin out as if someone launched a shell at you.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. That's that pivot point.
Or if
totally
you hit a banana
that.
Peel. Like.
Right. I mean, I'm sure, I guess I'm not sure, but it remains to be seen how many cars can be on the track at once for Mario Kart. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if it was truly possible to have it be so flexible that with like augmented reality, you could grab a shell and throw it and you could make cars spin out in real time.
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know that they can do that, but I'm sure that was in a blue sky at some point.
I think Mario Kart is a real, like, I don't want to say dark horse. That's a weird phrase because it's a big ride that's meant to be good. But I think it could sneak up in terms of and take over like some Disney ride stuff for ever. Best ride that exists currently.
Yeah, like, yeah, from there's a leaked picture of that from a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's like that, if it looks like the track that was laid out in this picture, like it's, I can't imagine I won't want to like live in there.
Yeah. Guys, isn't it cool being part of like we truly are in like one of the golden ages of this stuff.
Yes,
there's been cruddy times. I feel like, and we kind of, it's fun to be an adult and be like remembering the stuff from our childhoods, which was a golden age.
Right.
And then it's sort of in and out whether theme parks were doing a lot or good through up until now. And now we clearly are in one of the best runs there's ever been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the patents that Universal filed a patent recently. Universal filed a bunch of patents. One of them similar to the roller coasters that rotate for show scenes that are popular, seemingly getting popular, was like a log ride or raft ride where you could rotate the raft for show scenes.
Whoa.
So imagine the Jurassic, and not on a track, because the Pirates Ride in Shanghai does rotate to little show sequences. Mm-hmm. But that's got a track underneath it. This mm-hmm. would use obstacles like in rapids and presumably water direction to rotate the boat. Whoa. To show scenes. So even if like none of this stuff comes to pass and like this patent is exactly 100% what the ride would be, even using elements of this in like next gen rides, it could be incredible.
There's rumors of a full Jungle Book like thing over in World Showcase or Animal Kingdom. Like it could be either one, but like a full using the Shanghai Pirates technology for like boats that flip around and can change and stuff, but like a full like jungle, like CGI Jungle Book thing, which sounds awesome.
Jeez. And all this on top of a patent being filed to make a crystal cup that is power that is gathers the world's love for chocolate and peanut butter.
Well, you don't need to file a patent to love.
Wow.
You just do it. You just feel it.
Man, that's true.
I'll say that looking past 2019, Disney in 2020 and 2021 has stuff like the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster at Epcot, the Ratatouille ride to Epcot, and the Tron coaster coming in Magic Kingdom, which in my head, I was like, some of these are, they have already built these in other parks. Why is it taking so long? The answer being the 50th anniversary of Disney World is coming up. So they're clearly trying to stack the decks for that.
I was just going to add about that Guardians coaster at Epcot that you can fit three spaceship Earths inside the building or something, or is it more? It's like a huge building. So the roller coaster is going to be big. There's a lot of crazy stuff. And then, what's good about it, the future, is that, and this is only for theme parks, not in the future in general, that's all bad, but theme park future, good, is that Universal seems very aggressive, especially in Orlando, which is going to hopefully keep this arms race going for a little while.
They have to compete with Island H2O Live Water Park.
Right.
And in general, Sunset Walk and the entire Margaritaville establishment. This could run Universal into the ground.
Two water parks in Orlando with RFID-based wristbands that only kind of work? Can you imagine?
Yeah, everyone's on the run.
Golden age. We're in it. Well, we're very excited. It's going to be a great 2019, and hopefully for this podcast as well. We have some fun ideas already, I feel like, of stuff that's got like more theme months and more garbage.
Months.
Hopefully we get to rent another live show.
I have like a lot of big ideas that I don't know if they'll come to fruition, but at least if a couple of them do. That'll be fun. We won't say what those are, but there'll be some live shows. There'll be some, you know,
new stuff. Oh yeah, fun stuff behind the second gate. The Patreon episodes.
Yeah. And remember that our podcast and our microphones are powered by your love. So we need to hear it. We need your emails, podcasttheride@gmail.com. We need your iTunes reviews. Those really spike. Those really make the crystal cup that's in the center of the room while we record the podcast go nuts.
But unlike Hershey's chocolate, which we know is powered by the crystal cup, no one has any idea how the iTunes charts works. They are a mystery and perplexing. And
no way to tame them.
Who knew there were this many video game podcasts coded as games and hobbies?
Oh, you're bitter at the other.
Yeah, you're mad about
that. I'm just
that.
More confused.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, well, we need to be a, like the League of Misfit Candy and go, you know, see if they have crystal sure. cups that are somehow gaming the system. We got to take them, and then we got more crystal cups, and we're straight up to the top of the charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can help us in this endeavor also by tweeting at us or going to our Instagram or subscribing to our Patreon mm-hmm. at podcasttheride.com. Patreon, oh, patreon.com/podcasttheride, no colon. And hey, that's it. You survived Podcast the Ride. It's gonna be great 2019, gang.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yay.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.